to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
And thank you everyone this morning who is here through the waves, because I'm just going to do a shout out for Zoom, StreamYard, all those technology that's out here, because it really, really shows us that we are one, no matter what is going on and what happens in these rooms. We are always connected and ready to step in. And I am so, so grateful for that, you know. So good morning, my beloveds. Good morning. Happy New Year. I am filled with joy and light this morning. I truly am. And I know you are too, because you are the light of the world, you know. And I absolutely love the beginning of the year, because at the beginning of the year, I get to start all my readers. I have about 10 readers that I read every day. I'm not showing off. I just, you know, letting you know that that's how I start my day, because I need to feed my consciousness. I need to feed my spirit, you know. So I start at the beginning with those. And then there is the Science of Mind text. And I love, love, love the beginning of the Science of Mind text. So as you know, every year we like to begin our year with the core message, an introduction of Science of Mind principle. And that's where it is. It's at way at the beginning of the text. And it starts out with the thing itself, the way it works, what it does, and how to use it. And as we follow that trail at the beginning of this year, it's just so glorious, so unbelievable, the things that I know I continue to learn every time, every year that we start the year with, you know, understanding these principles. Last week, Reverend Jenna talked about the thing itself, which Ernest Holmes describes as the first cause, spirit, mind, or that invisible essence, that ultimate stuff and intelligence from which every single thing comes from, the power back of creation, the thing itself. Ah, I love reading those words every year. In the study of Sciences of Mind, we accept this thing and we believe it. We truly, truly believe it. I see it everywhere today. And it's only been through me and my acceptance of this belief and trust in how this thing works in my life and in your life. Because it does work. Because it works if we work it. Because it works if I work it. If I work it each and every day. Recently I heard a talk in which a speaker said that the first line in every book written tells us what that book is all about. And the last sentence in the book tells us what has happened. And if we piece these two things together, we will know what that book is about. And that's what Science of Mind text is. And I know it's a little thick, and sometimes, you know, I know at the beginning I used to go like, oh, that's a thick book. I have to reread it from beginning to end, you know. But then I learned that, you know, every time that I open that book, to whatever page I open it up to, it tells me what I need to know, right? So I'm going to share with you what's in the first page of the Science of Mind text. And this is the quote at the beginning of the text. It says, "These lessons are dedicated to that truth which frees man," and I'm leaving the words exactly as they're written, "which frees man from himself and sets him on the pathway of a new experience, which enables him to see through the mist to the eternal and changeless reality." Ah, take a deep breath. "Which enables us to see through the mist of the eternal and changeless reality." For me, that changeless reality is how I see my life, how we live our lives, and how this thing works in our lives. It's a changeless reality, living in the moment. And then I went to the last sentence in the text, which is at the end of the glossary. And it's under the description of word, the word. And the quote that's in there says, "The manifest universe as we see it, as well as the invisible universe that must also exist, is the result of the self-contemplation of God." There's that word contemplation that I.O. giggles behind. Contemplation of God. He spoke and it was done. The word was with God and the word was God. This reminds me of how Spirit worked in Ernest Holmes, using him as a channel in which the words printed in the Science of Mind text came into existence. The Spirit worked through him, as it works through us each and every moment of the day. Many years ago, I was asked by a spiritual counselor if I believed in God. Oh, I smiled and, I said, "Yes, of course I do. After all, I was a religious woman and I believed in God." At that time, I was a little offended by this question until she proceeded to ask me some other questions relating to the God of my understanding. And at that time, this is what I told her about the God of my understanding at that time. I said, "Well, it's like this little man that's sitting up on a throne somewhere. And periodically, it comes forth to punish me when I needed it or gives me some type of attention when I do need it." And at that particular moment, she did not answer. But today I know why she did not answer. Oh my God, just the thought of that makes me smile and laugh today. But many, many years later, I was asked to do a little exercise. And here's what came forth. The exercise was to write a description of what I thought the God of my understanding looked and sounded like. So as I proceeded to put words to paper, I came to a realization that my God had changed. My version of that God that I had talked about years ago was different. It had shifted. Of course, my God had not changed, but my consciousness had changed. My mind had changed. First of all, I had started to accept that there was a power and an essence that lives inside of me. And every single person that I come in contact with, everyone, and I have to also remember that at different moments in my life as I'm living it, it is a power and an essence that lives inside of me and every single person. And second, I've come to understand and believe that this power is a power for good. And that it loves me. It loves me. And it loves all of you. It loves every single person on this planet and on this earth dearly. Oh my God. That thought just, it gives me little baby bumps on my skin. Just to think of the magnitude of this power, this very essence whose circumference is nowhere and it goes above and beyond every single thing. Oh, wow. And that it is, and this was the third thing that really, really touched me, and I've already touched on this, and I've accepted this for sure. It is a universal power for good, and that I can use it and that it uses me 24/7. It uses me and it uses you. And it's constantly, constantly at work. It doesn't rest. It doesn't rest. And number four, there are no favorites. Oh my God. No favorites. Which for the longest time, I believe there were favorites. As I also mentioned before, if I did good, this power would reward me. And when I did bad and made mistakes, this power would punish me. Oh, to let go of those thoughts, to let go of what that could mean today in my life. Whew. It's gone. It's gone. My higher power loves me so much. And he loves you so, so much. So in the Science of Mind text, Ernest Holmes says, there is a spirit that works for us by working through us. He goes on to say, we cannot recognize that it is while we are believing that it is not. Hence it is written, they entered not because of unbelief. That's from Hebrews 4:16. My joy and my light comes through my belief today. Because as we enter into this understanding, because of our belief, we know that we can only enter while there is belief, while there is faith, while there is trust. While there is trust in this magnitude of this universal power. In that same chapter, he goes on to say, our belief sets the limit of our demonstration of principle, which of itself is without limit. Without limit, as I said, there is no circumference. It is ready to fill everything because it is infinite. Because it is infinite. That is why it is not a question of willingness or its ability. It is only a question of my own receptivity, of your own receptivity of this power. So I believe that building our lives through our expanding consciousness is what Jesus taught, what this guide thought, this way shower thought. I believe that this is my ideal and this is your ideal, you know, expanding my consciousness and continuing to listen, continuing to learn, continuing to stay open, to keep an open heart 24/7. So I have thought about this because every time I talk to someone and I have discussions about God with different people along my journey, I feel like there is an increasing number of people, which I call having that upward pull of the divine in us. And that there is an expanding and corresponding consciousness of turning within. Of turning within that has become somewhat of a norm. And I don't know today if this is because the people that I'm connected with today or just because, you know, I think it's just something that's happening in the world, as we say in these rooms, world that works for everyone, that we're coming to feel that upward pull. And as the laws of the universe become more and more widely known and understood, that's why we're here, to know that the reason why we're here is to become the magnets and to stay connected to being a magnet. So as these laws become more widely known and understood, that there is an accelerated spiritual growth through all of us. It's an innate knowledge of these laws of the universe that is activated in each and every one of us, with a consciousness that encourages us to flourish in our own uniqueness, to flourish. Recently, people keep asking me, what is my word of the year? My word of the year is influencer. I have finally come to that place inside of me that wherever I go and whatever I do and whatever words I speak, I'm not only influencing myself, but I'm influencing each and every person that I come in contact with. And I have to remember that. I have to remember that. And I know sometimes it sounds like a lot of work, man. It does. But as the more I do it, the more I can see myself being an influencer. So I'm encouraging you today to think about, you know, I was talking about intentions. And I know at the beginning of the year, we do have really deep intentions. And it's with those intentions to remember how we are influencing ourselves and those around us. So as we open ourselves up to having complete faith in this true essence of knowing and being in relationship with this power, the thing itself, we commit ourselves to living a life of faith. My acronym for faith is, for an instant, there's hope. And there's always hope. Knowing that having faith does not mean that we expect to have no challenges in life, for life is growth and change. Faith is the conviction of the changeless support within each and every one of us, even during changing and challenging times. You know, sometimes when I'm going through something, you know, I have this little phrase, I go like, okay, bring it on, God, you know. And I know that when I say those words, I'm in that place of faith, of knowing. Knowing that the consciousness of faith that causes this synchronization of that transcendent force, so that all things are working together for good. All things, not only in my life, but in your life too. So let us remember what Ernest Holmes says. We are thinking, willing, knowing, conscious centers of life. We are surrounded by and immersed in, and there is flowing through us a creative something. Call it what you will. That is why the sum total of all our thoughts, will, purpose, and belief creates a tendency in this law that causes it to react to us according to the sum total of the belief. As we can believe, will be done to us. And that's how this thing works. It works through us continuously, nonstop, if we believe in it. Today, for me, it's a belief that I have in every fiber, cell, and tissue of my being. I'll quote again from a Proverb 24:3. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Excuse me. So let's ask ourselves, what greatness has erupted in our house today? I'll share a little story that I read. I can't even remember where I read it. It was about Emily Dickinson and the house she lived in for most of her life in Amherst, Massachusetts. It was a house, but no means spectacular. It was the color of ochre and set among a small garden where Emily tended to her plants. She rarely left this house, but in this house, a lot of magic happened. And what happened was that nearly 2,000 of some of her greatest poems in the world has ever known were penned at that house, 280 Main Street in Amherst, Massachusetts. It was in an upstairs bedroom, looking out through two large windows, that she crafted lines that broke the mold of American verse. She defied convention and poured her soul into the elliptical appraisals of life, loss, and death. And the world was changed. So today, because that's all we have is today in this moment, right now, I'm asking you to look around you, to that space where you are standing or sitting. Knowing that you are in an incubator for greatness. Knowing that God can do wonderful things right here, right now, in this moment, and is doing if we allow God to, if we allow Spirit to, if we allow this creative energy to do the work that it does. And if we allow this power and this presence to do its work, all we need to do is to take action, to do the footwork, to make every step we take go in the direction that we want it to go in our lives. And to remember that it works if you work it. So work it. You are worth it. You are worth it. I am worth it. We are all worth it. That together, united together with this power and this presence and each other, the works are beyond anything that we could even imagine at this very moment. So I'm going to leave you today with a poem by James Dillard Freeman. He wrote this poem when his wife was going through some ill health as a reminder for himself, and it has been one of the greatest poems written. In 1971, this poem, and it's called I Am There, was carried to the moon by Apollo 15. It was stored in a microfilm file. The poem was intended to be left there for future space explorations. And that's where we are right now. We're in a place of exploration for ourselves. So I'm going to read it to you. It says, do you need me? I am there. You cannot see me, yet I am the light you see by. You cannot hear me, yet I speak through your voice. You cannot feel me, yet I am the power at work in your hands. I am at work though you do not understand my ways. I am at work though you do not recognize my works. I am not strange visions. I am not mysteries. Only in absolute stillness, beyond self, can you know me as I am, and then but as a feeling and a faith. Yet I am there, yet I hear, yet I answer. When you need me, I am there. When you deny me, I am there. When you feel most alone, I am there. Even in your fears, I am there. Even in your pain, I am there. I am there when you pray and when you do not pray. I am in you and you are in me. Only in your mind can you feel separate from me, for only in your mind are the mist of yours and mine. Yet only with your mind can you know me and experience me. Empty your heart of empty fears. When you get yourself out of the way, I am there. And you can of yourself do nothing, but I can do all, and I am in all. Though you may not see the good, good is there, for I am there. I am there because I have to be, because I am. Only in me does the world have meaning. Only out of me does the world take form. Only because of me does the world go forward. I am the law on which the movement of the stars and the growth of the living cells are founded. I am the love that the law is fulfilling. I am assurance. I am peace. I am oneness. I am the law that you can live by. I am the love that you can cling to. I am your assurance. I am your peace. I am one with you. I am you. Though you fail to find me, I do not fail you. Though your faith in me is unsure, my faith in you never wavers, because I know you, because I love you. Beloved, I am there. Oh, let's just take a moment to take these words into our heart, knowing that there is only one power and one presence, one mind, one absolute essence. And this power, this presence lives inside of each and every one of us. And today we are here to not only celebrate our oneness with this power, but to know that we are always connected, to know that we are the power in which this essence works, because it works through us as us in this moment. So we are grateful. We are grateful for every single thing in our lives, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like. We know that we are always connected with this power and this essence. And we are grateful as we release these words into the nothingness of which they've been spoken today through me as me. We just know it is done, it is done, it is done. And all we need to know and to say is yes, yes, yes. And so it is. Amen. Namaste.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.